May Jesus bless you with his peace. I'm Father Matthew Krempel at St. Mary Roman Catholic Church, celebrating the 9 o'clock morning mass on the 6th day of March, the 4th Sunday of Lent, liturgical cycle year C. Our first reading is taken from the book of Joshua, chapter 5, verses 9, 8 to 10, 12, Psalm 34. Second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5, verses 17 to 21. The Gospel of according to St. Luke, chapter 15, verses 1 to 3 and 11 to 32. Laetare.
The Lord be with you. Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons. The younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to attend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here I am, dying of hunger. I shall go up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.'" So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fatted calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because the son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." The father said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come back to life again. He was lost and has been found. The Gospel of the Lord. This parable, of course, wishes to show us the goodness of God. The Father, obviously, is the one representing God. And the two sons, then, are the Pharisees and the scribes, and maybe those others who have remained faithful to the law of God. And the other son, the younger, is precisely like the tax collectors and sinners. As we continue our meditations through Lent and reflect on the sufferings of Christ, we might from this parable get the impression that we can do anything we want and there will be no consequences, that God will forgive us no matter how sinful we become. Now, yes, God will forgive us, but only when we have repented. Hear what the Son says. I shall get up and go to my Father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers. An act of humility, an act of compunction, an act of contrition, an apology. This then moves the heart of his Father. Unlike many who might presume that no matter what they do, they will get to heaven. In our day and age, there's a great worry among some groups that so many people have stopped practicing the faith. I believe almost every family has a story to tell of one or two or many in their families who have stopped attending church and have basically given up on God, saying, he's not visible. He hasn't helped me. Maybe he's helped others. But if he doesn't want to talk to me, I don't want to talk to him. In some of the workshops that we priests have in the diocese, this particular theme has been the most recent. They point out that so many, when they're asked about their religion, fill in the blank as none. Called nuns, N-O-N-E-S. And as someone reminded me yesterday, yes, they're out of the habit of going to church. At any rate, this is a large number of people, not just in the Catholic Church, but in every denomination. So there's this worry. What are we going to do about these nuns, these people who identify with no religion whatsoever and don't want any practice of religion whatsoever? So in these workshops, they give us little programs of how to organize the parish, how to go out and reach these nuns or these people who are uninvolved in the church, inactive. And I kind of scratch my head because, yes, organization is important and little programs are helpful, but I don't think that gets at the root cause. The root cause is the lack of awareness. The lack of awareness that sin is a serious offense, not against us necessarily, but against God himself. God is offended when we leave him behind, God is hurt when we ignore His law. God is pained and grieved by our lack of faith. How do we wake these people up? Some don't want to be awakened. Some don't want to come to their senses. They want to be left alone. And they think they have it made on their own. But as we hear St. Paul writing to the Corinthians, that God sent Jesus to us in order to reconcile us to Him, to God the Father. God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting their trespasses against them and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we have become ambassadors. We spread the message. But we can only do so much. We can only say so much. The rest, we have to rely on the Holy Spirit. Now, a quick clarification. It says, for our sake, God made Jesus to be sin who did not know sin. This doesn't mean that Jesus became a sinner, but rather our human flesh, our heritage as sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, is one of sin, beginning with original sin. So when Jesus took on our flesh, He took on our sinful nature, we might say, but He never sinned. He always loved and obeyed the Heavenly Father. But rather He took on our bodies that get sick, die, and corrupt in the tomb, that we might share in the righteousness of God, that we might share finally in the resurrection of Jesus. Whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Besides trying to make people aware that sin really offends God, the other thing is that we don't want to give people the impression, okay, that once they become aware of their sinfulness, that all they have to do is say, I'm sorry, and feel that they are reconciled with God. We might, or they might, get the impression from this parable that the son, the younger son, had no consequences to his evil actions. We are left with the impression that the father did not hold this against him. And in one sense, we do understand that. But note how the son approaches his father. Again, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. We might say further, I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to suffer any punishment you put upon me. Just let me be in your house. Now, we've been also making ourselves aware of how serious sin is, so much so that God sent His beloved Son to satisfy the eternal punishment that our sins have merited. But we are called to satisfy the temporal punishments that our sins merit. And thus it is that we even make Lent not just repenting and saying, I'm sorry, but actually doing acts and prayers that would make up for these sins. And thus we do penance. As I pointed out last week, Pope Paul VI, in his document on the revision of indulgences, points out that the seriousness of our sins can be seen in the punishments that God imposes upon us. At any rate, what we would like to teach the nuns, those who don't want anything to do with any religion, is precisely that God is not going to be fooled. He's not going to be taken advantage of. That we can't play our own game and expect to win. Rather, that the father here in the parable receives the younger son, but he tells the older son, everything I have is yours. Don't be jealous. Just a quick aside comment. I was reading in the book of Deuteronomy this morning, chapter 21, and it talks about sons and daughters, particularly sons, who won't listen to their parents. That when they become rather disobedient and they begin to play around in the field being a playboy and not listening to their parents, not practicing the religion, they should bring them to the elders of the city. And if they don't listen to the elders of the city, and this is extreme, I'm just making an example, they should be stoned to death. Whoa. So we can appreciate how the older son is saying to his father in one way, your son, not my brother, but your son should be stoned for being a playboy and going through your property and not caring about your feelings. Now we might understand more fully what Jesus is getting at. He doesn't wish the death of the sinner, but rather that the sinner repent and come to life. In any case, God is waiting. And we join in God's waiting for sinners to repent with our own prayers for their conversion, with our own fasting, with our own almsgiving. As another part of the scripture says, giving of alms covers a multitude of sins. This is what then we do with our lives. Not just worrying about our own eternal salvation, but worrying about those who have deliberately left God and therefore left us. We become like Jesus, offering our sufferings in love to the Heavenly Father, that God may be loved and sinners might live.